womb of the mother. And when he entered this realm of real existence, he not only possessed all necessary functions and powers, but found provision for his material subsistence waiting for him. We had a mother to take care of us and bestow her love and blessings and guidance. And in this day, particularly now, with the obligations of this massive revelation of Baha'u'llah to train the children from the earliest possible days, in this great revelation and in all the qualities and the attributes and all that is expected that we should acquire in this world. Then Abdu'l-Bahá explains, therefore in this world he must prepare himself for the life beyond. From the world of the womb of the mother, we were prepared for this world. Equally, all of us have to prepare for the next world, and somebody can't do it for someone else. We're all committed. That which he needs in the world of the kingdom must be obtained here. That's a very emphatic statement. Just as he prepared himself in the womb of the matrix by acquiring forces necessary for this existence, so likewise the indispensable forces of divine existence must be potentially attained in this world. This is where and why we have to live the Baha'i life. It's not only because we show and create unity and love, it's also for our own development arriving in the next world. It's a two-way program. Then Abdu'l-Bahá explains to us what we need. What is he in need of in the kingdom which transcends the life and limitation of this mortal sphere? That world beyond is a world of sanctity and radiance. Therefore, it is necessary that in this world he should acquire those divine attributes. In that world there is need of spirituality. There's a need there for spirituality, for faith, for assurance, and the knowledge and the love of God. That love of God that you sacrifice your time, your resources, and your energy in working for the faith constantly, non-stop. These he must attain in this world so that after his ascension from the earthly to the heavenly kingdom, he shall find all that is needful in that eternal life ready for him. Just as we arrived with everything here, likewise, we have to acquire for ourselves in our adoration and praise and worship and service to God. We have to acquire these things in the world, this world. That divine world is manifestly a world of lights. Therefore, man has need of illumination here. And I know, I feel sure, if you felt like I was when I was in that temple, I was wondering whether I'd take off at some time. I felt so beautiful. The spirit was there, that was there. And that beautiful choirs. That is a world of love. And love of God is essential. It is a world of perfections, of virtues. And perfections and virtues must be acquired. That world is vivified by the breaths of the Holy Spirit. In this world we must seek them. We must seek that Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of everlasting life. It must be attained during this vanishing existence. This is a temporary world. We were given the things that we needed from our Creator in the world of the womb of the mother. We didn't know then in that world of this world. When we arrive here, we've got to acquire for ourselves and do our own work of acquiring the assets, like the arms, legs and ears, eyes coming into this world. We have to acquire them for the next world. By what means can man acquire these things? Abdu'l-Bahá poses the question and gives the answer. How could he obtain these merciful gifts and powers? First, through the knowledge of God. And this is one of the wonderful reasons why I'm pleased that Baha'u'llah said, read the writings, Morn and Eve. And if you read them without reading too much, you're surprisingly how you will remember them. How shall he obtain these merciful gifts and powers? First, through the knowledge of God. Second, through the love of God. Third, through faith. Faith. And we surely have that. We all know. We're blessed. The Baha'is are blessed to know where the world is going. We know of the destiny of a glorious future that is for this world and for our children and children's and children's children. We're quite positive. Faith and belief. Fourth, through philanthropic deeds. Fifth, through self-sacrifice. Sixth, through severance from this world. We can't afford to be over-attached to this world. It's surprising how every now and again we become detached. Some of the believers recently told me, with the devaluation of the currency, they were detached from a lot of worldly wealth. Quite suddenly and quite unexpectedly. A seventh item he gives is we acquire these things through sanctity and holiness. Holiness is that respect and the love that we have for these teachings and for all the circumstances in prayers, in temples and adoration to God, the sanctity. Unless he acquires these forces and attains these requirements, he will surely be deprived of the life that is eternal. But if he possesses the knowledge of God, this is why the exhortation that has given here, study the teachings, particularly as it was said, studying the guardian who guides you into all the phases of this mighty revelation and all the things that we should do in the manner of the working of this mighty world order of Baha'u'llah. If he possesses the knowledge of God, becomes ignited through the fire of the love of God, witness the great and mighty signs of the kingdom, becomes the cause of love among mankind and lives in the utmost state of sanctity and holiness, he shall surely attain to the second birth, be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and enjoy everlasting existence. Mr. Sears reminded us yesterday a dispensation of what, 500,000 years. Then Baha'u'llah himself tells us, O friends, be not careless of the virtues with which you've been endowed. Neither be neglectful of your high destiny. Ye are the stars of heaven of understanding and the breezes that stirreth at the break of day, the soft flowing waters upon which must depend the very life of all men. O people of Baha, ye are the breezes of the spring that are wafted over the world. Through you, we, Baha'u'llah says, we have adorned the world of being with the ornament of knowledge of the Most Merciful. Through you, all of us, responsibilities on our shoulders, not someone else's. We can't pass the buck to the committee or the National Assembly or the local assembly. Through you, the countenance of the world hath been wreathed in smiles, and the brightness of his light shone forth. Cling ye to the cord of steadfastness, in such wise that all vain imaginings may utterly vanish. Speed ye forth from the horizon of power in the name of your Lord, the unconstrained, and announce unto his servants with wisdom and eloquence the tidings of this cause, whose splendor hath been shed upon the world of being. I have many pieces here, but time is limited, unfortunately. You know, I read to you a little pieces here that God knows everything we do. I want to read you a little story here illustrating this when believers were in the presence of Baha'u'llah. An influential person became a Baha'i in Isfahan, but he did not live a good life. He went to Acre and attained the presence of Baha'u'llah, and this is his story. On the first day of my attaining the presence of the Blessed Beauty, I was among a number of pilgrims who were standing in his presence. He was pacing up and down and speaking words of exhortation and encouragement. I was in a state of enchantment as I watched the majesty of his bearing. I said to myself, I know that the Blessed Perfection is the supreme manifestation of God and the promise of all ages. But in some of his writings, he describes himself as the one who has sent all the messengers of God and the revealer of all the heavenly books. I did not understand this. As soon as this thought flashed through my mind, the Blessed Perfection came towards me, placed his hand on my shoulder, and in a majestic tone, yes, we are the one who has sent the messengers and revealed all the heavenly books. Then he writes, I was awestruck. Baha'u'llah even knew what he was thinking. Another play case. After my arrival in Tehran, Sites writes one of the believers, I was once reading the epistle to the son of the wolf, and I came across a very beautiful and penetrating prayer revealed by Baha'u'llah and quoted in that book. I immediately wished in my heart that these resplendent words had been revealed from the pen of the Most High for me. This insignificant servant. Some time passed when one day I received a message from Haji Mirza Abdullah Sahar Farouche, who was a well-known figure among the Baha'is and a channel of communication with the Holy Land. In this message, he told me that a tablet in my name had arrived from the realm of glory, and that I should call in person at his office and collect it. I hastened to his office, where I received an exalted tablet, as a result of which I was moved to the depths of my emotions. I worked out carefully that at the same moment that I had made the wish in my heart to have the above prayer revealed for me, the bounties of Baha'u'llah had been directed toward me in Tehran. He had revealed the same prayer at that very moment in my name, and he sent it to me. The time that it normally took for communications to arrive in Tehran from the Holy Land was the same as that between my making a wish in my heart and the arrival of the tablet. Glorified be God, the Lord of grandeur and majesty. Although the sufferings and tribulations had encompassed the realm of glory from every direction, yet the bounties of Baha'u'llah were being vouchsafed to his most insignificant servants. And this demonstrates the truth of the words, "Nothing whatsoever escapeth him from being occupied with any other thing." Baha'u'llah knows all that we can do. Now every one of us realize that we're challenged with a mighty 6-year plan to start and to take the faith to the four corners of the earth. You remember, Baha'u'llah, with all the experience, Baha'u'llah said that his revelation was for all the worlds of God. Now, with all your experience and your devoted in devotion in this course, it's quite possible, I don't know for sure, but when you leave this world and you arrive in the next, they may just be starting another 6-year plan. So make every effort, do your utmost, and don't let up, because the opportunities are here now for service. I want to read and close with some words of Abdu'l-Bahá, that there is this exhortation. We need the spirit of this cause, the spirit to attract the souls. We've got to have energy. We've got to have become, shall we say, self-active. We've got to get our own selves going to teach. I have a piece of paper here. Here we are. You know, in the writings it tells us we should teach. Every year we should tact another soul, at least another soul every year. Yesterday we were given some figures of 4.7 million Baha'is in the world. In this 6-year plan, look what can happen. If every believer in the world was to attract one believer in 1 year to this cause, the first year it would jump to 9.4 million, the second year to 18.8, the third year to 37.6 million, fourth year to 75.2 million, the fifth year to 150.4 million, and in the sixth year for all of us to go to New York, 300 million people. It's possible. It's possible. And the Baha'is, if we all get busy, it can be done. And what does Abdu'l-Bahá say? All the meetings must be for teaching the cause and spreading the message, and suffering the souls to enter into the kingdom of Baha'u'llah. Look at me, he says, look at me. All my thoughts are centered round the proclamation of the kingdom. I have a lamp in my hand, searching through the lands and seas to find the souls who can become heralds of the cause. Day and night I am engaged in this work. Any other deliberations in meetings are futile and fruitless. Convey the message.